Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering something we didn't discuss that we were going to ever cover. We were going to cover its sister show or its grandparent show. Parent show. That's the grandparent show.
I don't know where that came from.
So we are going to be covering episode one of Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, the spinoff show to Once Upon a Time.
This is a 2013 show
that we watched live and then didn't watch again until I watched it last week with my roommate and wanted to cover it. So,
well, and because it is more of a discreet show.
Discreet.
Like, it has a definite beginning and end, as opposed to Once Upon a Time, which has seven seasons, 22
episodes per season. Except for, I think, the seventh season had fewer, but so.
It's a lot. It is a great show, especially the early seasons. Absolutely loved it. At some point, we probably should, because it is in keeping with our general themes of things we watch. However, it is super freaking long, and like, it makes Game of Thrones seem like it's nothing.
This is kind of like a tester to see if our format really works for a Once Upon a Time show, and to see if we do in the future do Once Upon a Time, if it would work. Right. I think it personally would, since we have come up with the section system and have done stuff like Queen Charlotte and
we're gonna have
Down
to see
like
Queen
that.
Charlotte was six episodes, so
I know 13. It's more of a time commitment. But
it's a huge time commitment. And so I think that, you know, just how we break it down, because we're going to do episode by episode with the 13 episodes that are in Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. This is a fun show. For those of you unfamiliar with the conceit of a show like this, it is basically a twisted fairy tale conceit. They kind of take these characters, put them in, mix them up, put them into scenarios that are fairy tale-ish.
It's like if they all were kind of neighbors. Like if Cinderella and Snow White were neighbors or something, and like they interact in some way, what would that look like? And if it happened during the course of their stories, what would that look like? And so they tend to stick to like be a little bit more like faithful in general to the general idea of their story, but find different twists and turns to make it more interesting and to catch you off guard. And they tend to add more action and stuff like that. So it's definitely an interesting conceit, and that's what Once Upon a Time was for
right,
all
which
that
is
stuff.
Why we watched the spinoff to begin with, because we loved Once Upon a Time to begin with.
And so, I remember really, really liking the show when it came out, and I was very disappointed it was a limited series, but there's a reason why. And it was always going to be, I believe, a limited series, because it does have a very definite beginning and end. And there is a little bit of spillover into Once Upon a Time season four, but not a lot and not very noticeable. And it's kind of disappointing. But
we really did enjoy the show at the time. And I remember being disappointed in the last couple episodes because we're going to talk about it because I haven't seen them since 2013.
Yeah, I don't think you remember.
So it's been 11
happens.
Years. I could be wrong.
It's been 11 years for you. It's been slightly less than 11 years for me, just because I watched a video by this person who is like rewatching the seasons of Once Upon a Time and doing retrospectives on them. And they did one on Once Upon a Time in Wonderland in between their season 3 and season 4 video. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, I remember watching that. And then I watched that video. I was like, oh, there's a lot I didn't remember. And so then last week, my roommate and I got to talk about Once Upon a Time. And I was just like, have you seen the spinoff show? And she's like, no. And I was like, okay, I have to show you this. And yeah. So we watched it. And that was the first time since 2013 I'd actually watched the show. And it was a ton of fun. Like, it's very sharp writing, very good.
We're going to talk about it when we get into it. But we do have our usual caveats and disclaimers, which include, and yes, we have them, which include that there will be spoilers. We may accidentally talk about Once Upon a Time, the parent show. We'll try not to spoil this show, because there are also some character overlaps that come into play. Try not to spoil that either. And we are having, there's possibly going to be cursing, though less likely in these early episodes.
It's going to get more likely as it goes on.
Right,
but
there are things in the later episodes that I remember being like, hey.
Just entertaining things that I'm just like, bitch.
Yeah, please. So we do anticipate that it's going to come up. It could come up. Don't know if it's going to be this episode or later. And we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink now?
I'm having a cherry slush.
Oh, cherry slush.
Yes.
Because it's candy and
Wonderland-y, sweet. And
whatever. I really wanted to have a s'more coffee. I don't have any s'mores coffee. Not that flavor, but I really would love to
buy
have
s'more.
It. Funny.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, I have a chocolate raspberry truffle coffee that I'm having because it's that time of day. And I did have chocolate with it, so good enough for buzz binging today.
Okay. good enough for buzz binging today. Okay.
Yeah. So let's get started with
episode one, Down the Rabbit Hole. So we're going to split this into two sections. And there are going to be certain times where flashbacks should have a big reveal that will only like be will only mentioned in the present section, just because it needs to be said at that time and not before. But in general, we'll try to stick with the past present storyline. So that's kind of just if you've ever seen Lost, it's kind of like that of like or Once Upon a Time in general, where it's like you have two coinciding storylines. One is going on in the past and we're getting flashbacks to it, and they kind of like have a similar moral lesson or like something that someone learns in the present, and the present storyline going on with the general plot of the show. And so we'll start with past. No.
Well, the show actually starts in the past.
Yes, it does. The past, we start with young Alice, who's played by Millie Bobby Brown.
Who remembered this? Nobody. It's like, okay, wow. Eleven is in Wonderland.
I found out about that when I was watching the retrospective on. I was like, that was Millie Bobby Brown? That's wild.
Well, so you knew. When I looked at it, I was like, is that Millie Bobby Brown?
Yeah, yeah.
And sure enough, it is.
So young Alice returns home from Wonderland on her like maiden voyage to Wonderland, as I would say. Yeah. And her first trip to Wonderland, she's coming back from that. And she tells her father what happened, and her father doesn't believe her. And she was gone so long that he actually thought she was dead. Yeah. So obviously time passes differently. I would also like to say, and this is also kind of true in Once Upon a Time, but I find it very funny that like they have all these different worlds. They have Wonderland. They have the Enchanted Forest. They have whatever. And there's also one that's just Victorian England. Yeah, I love that so much because there is a modern day, like current timeline world that they also travel between eventually.
Right,
but there is also one that is only Victorian England.
Right. So, and the modern world has like a town that comes into play in Once Upon a Time, the actual show called Storybrooke. And that actually shows up in this show very briefly in this first episode.
Yes. And we'll discuss that in just a second. And so, yeah, her father, he starts talking to like some doctors and is just like thinking she's insane, but also she is a child, so she can have whatever imagination she wants. However, she was gone for a prolonged period of time, and so he's concerned that he believes
she was dead. That's how
long she was gone. Yeah, she was gone for a long time. And so he's very scared that she's telling him all of that, this Wonderland that shouldn't exist based on all like her stories about it. It sounds like a child's imagination, and he's very concerned for her. And she overhears this, and she's like, I'm going to try to prove I'm not crazy. And so then we go to the present.
Right. So in the present, we see, and of course, people who are watching the show primarily are Once Upon a Time watchers. So you recognize automatically Storybrooke. You see
Storybrooke, Maine.
Maine is where it's set. Maine being the state in the U.S. You see this guy who we are told his name is the Knave. He is nearly hit by a car.
The yellow bug.
A yellow bug that all of us recognize from Once Upon a Time. He is about to go, he's looking for food or something, and he's about to go into a restaurant. There are two characters outside the restaurant who we know from Once Upon a Time are Grumpy and Cinderella. They talk to him and
Ashley and Leroy.
Yeah. And so they're about to, he breaks into the coffee shop
called Granny's.
He is about to leave when there's an earthquake. A hole opens in the coffee shop and a white rabbit with the voice of John Lithgow.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And it's kind of cool animation. We had seen a little bit of it in that original past thing, the White Rabbit, a little bit. But it's kind of cool animation, despite the fact that the technology is definitely not present.
It's 2013, and they did not have a huge budget, you can tell.
Right, but he basically says, look, you've got to help. He turns to the knave, and the knave's kind of like, oh, not you. and he says, no, you've got to help Alice. Alice is in trouble. She needs you, mm-hmm. essentially.
And so then we go over to Victorian England. I would hate that if I lived there for like, I don't know, my entire life, like let's just give a conservative estimate of like 80 years, mm-hmm. and it didn't change from Victorian England, and mm-hmm. no technological change happened, and you're just stuck with chimney sweeps and bullshit. Like, absolutely not. I would hate that.
Don't you want to be a Regency girl, Miss Bridgerton?
Regency era, not Victorian.
Regency is before Victorian.
I know. So you don't get all the fun of the Regency era. You get the bullshit afterward, like the huge corsets and the huge dresses that would be pretty, but my God, conservative. And
we should have more sex.
You don't even get to the turn of the century. You're fucked if you're in the Victorian. Anyway. So Alice is in an insane asylum and has been kept there for a year. She goes into a meeting with her doctors, a board of doctors who are talking about all the stories that she told when she was younger and also after she returned from another trip to Wonderland. So basically the timeline here is that when she was younger, like maybe 9, she followed the White Rabbit, went to Wonderland for a little while, for long enough for the father to get concerned. Yeah, that was the first one. And then she returned and saw her father and all that stuff. Years later, she returned to Wonderland and she went on some adventures and she returned. And we'll talk about her adventures in a minute. Because they show them in flashback. So she returns and her father, we find out what happened when she returns, but eventually she's put into a mental asylum and she has been there for a year. Anyway, she's being called crazy for believing in Wonderland being real. She had disappeared multiple times. She has flashbacks to her more recent adventure. We will discuss her recent adventures when we talk about the past.
In a second. But this performance by the girl who's playing,
she's so Alice, good. Her name's like adult. Sophie Runs.
I can't remember. Runs, I think. And she is first of all beautiful. Second, like she's badass too. She's that is a trope or a conceit in the whole Once Upon a Time thing is that, you know, these women, the women heroines of these fairy tales,
are fucking awesome.
Yeah, they're fucking awesome. And Alice is clearly one of those. But she is the performance, like she. You see her torment, and she does such a great job in these very short scenes. It's really well done.
Alice, we'll keep going with the present. We gotta go back.
We
going in chronological order for this one, but for like future ones, we'll probably separate them.
We'll see. So, Alice, when she's in this meeting with the doctors, begins flashing back to her most recent adventure in Wonderland, because apparently that had a major effect on her mental state. We see her, you know, stealing part of a mushroom. There's a caterpillar with Iggy Pop's voice on the mushroom. She steals the food. She runs into the maze and eats it and shrinks. The Queen of Hearts is looking for her. While she's shrunken, she goes to hide in a bottle and finds this cute guy named Cyrus, who's just adorable.
And I love him so much.
They fall in love like at first sight. It's adorable.
Well, let's be clear. He's a genie from Agrippa. Mm-hmm. And you'd think that there was only one genie. We'll find out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's not like blue. Yeah.
He's cute.
And she finds him cute too.
He's adorable. He's charming and he's flirting with her.
Yeah, he tells her about Agrippa. She tells him about Victorian England, right. Which doesn't feel like home anymore because her father. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, but she has the white rabbit in a bag because she's going to take the white rabbit back to prove to her father that Wonderland is real and that she's not making all this stuff up. And he's like, you know, your father doesn't even believe in you.
Why are you trying to find proof for a guy who doesn't believe in you? And he says, when you love someone, you don't need proof. You can feel it.
Yeah, this comes back a lot and is a lovely line. We like it.
Yeah. She is now the master of the bottle and can make 3 wishes.
Mm-hmm.
That will become, that is important. All right. Yes. In the present day, the doctors mention her stories about falling in love with Cyrus and going on many adventures, like with pirates and stuff like that. We don't get to see that, but.
No, but we do find out that they travel in various worlds together. Mm-hmm. So we get to see she and Cyrus are in what looks to be another world.
They're at the Boiling Sea.
The Boiling Sea.
Which I think in Wonderland.
I don't know. But he's super impressed with her. He says as much and he goes to propose to her. He doesn't even get the proposal. She's like, yes!
And he's just like, but I had a whole speech prepared.
Yeah, and it's so cute. They kiss. And he has a pendant that reflects that their hearts are now entwined and it starts glowing and it will glow when she is nearby so that he knows when she's near.
Yeah.
But people start coming for him and
in the present, the doctors say she was inconsolable when they brought her in and they call her an ignored child and she's just like, and they just say that she's making it up. You weren't
loved enough. Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't loved enough and so you made up all this bullshit so that you could be loved again or get attention. And she's just like, oh, sure, yeah, that's why. Mm-hmm. And she tries to make them believe that she doesn't believe the stories anymore, she tries to make it seem like, oh yeah, that was just my imagination, whatever.
And they're just crying too during this. It's beautiful, this performance.
Yeah, and she, and the doctor's like, we know that you still believe this is true. You still call for Cyrus in your sleep, which is so sad.
And she's like,
fuck me. In the past, the Red Queen, not the Queen of Hearts, the Red Queen, who looks fucking fantastic.
Oh my god, the costume. Now, of course,
this woman is beautiful.
For those of you who have watched Once Upon a Time, the main show, you know that Regina...
It's giving Regina in red.
Yeah, the costumes for this show are fucking amazing. Mm. So, you know... Don't
over the top.
They're over the top, but beautiful. And like and this actress, holy shit.
So beautiful.
Gorgeous.
And very menacing. The Red Queen and her guards show up and they start fighting Alice and Cyrus. The Red Queen doesn't. She kind of just is off to the side. The Red Queen, they get separated and the Red Queen's like, mind if I borrow him? And like
Talking about Cyrus.
And Alice starts fighting against the guards again. And Cyrus starts fighting against the guards again. They end up knocking out the guards. And the Red Queen is just kind of like, okay, well, I guess I have to do something myself. And she just flicks her hand, uses magic to push Cyrus off of the cliff and into the Boiling Sea.
Yeah.
And Alice has to watch as her now fiance just plummets to his death.
Yeah,
it's very depressing. Mm-hmm. And quite the statement. Anyway, in the present, the doctors suggest a lobotomy to make her forget Wonderland,
and she's like, "Is it gonna hurt?" And it's like, "Not as much as the pain.
Sure,
not a problem."
And she's like, "She just wants to forget Wonderland," and so she accepts. And again, they allow her to sign the papers on it. Obviously, it's really sketchy medical practice, but
yeah.
So what the fuck?
Yeah, they're prepping for the lobotomy. She is asleep in her padded cell, but she awakens and the knave is at her door. And he tells her, look, you know, the guards start coming for her, the people from the asylum start coming.
The orderlies
are to remove the knave, and he's fighting them, and he tells Alice that Cyrus is alive. The rabbit saw him. And they fight their way out.
You mean her.
Yeah.
Because he just kind of stands off to the side because he knows that she can handle herself.
Well, I mean, like, she takes out 5 orderlies. And the way this stage combat is done is like, it's awesome.
Like Black
incredible.
Widow, but
it's
cooler.
Like incredible. Yeah, it's incredible.
It's really so fun. Cool. I love her so much. And she's in a fucking corset and a skirt.
Yeah.
And she kicks ass. And then they meet up with the rabbit. On their way out, they see the doctor. And the doctor sees the rabbit. And Alice is like, same things, doctor. I think that there's a procedure for that. And then they leave. They run through London to escape. The rabbit digs its hole between worlds. It basically just kind of draws a circle. But when he says that maybe we should have done softer ground, I think he's talking about where they're going to land in Wonderland because of where they are in London.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a one-to-one comparison, I suppose.
Hard to say.
I don't know. And the knave is hesitant to go back because he didn't leave on good terms. But Alice says that she helped him get his heart back once, which can be literal in this world. And we'll talk about that when it becomes relevant. But she's asking for him to help get hers back.
And so they jump to Wonderland. They land in the Mallow Marsh, which is basically all marshmallow. The rabbit explains that, I didn't actually see Cyrus. It was the Dormouse who said that Cyrus is in the Hatter's house. So, you're sinking into that marshmallow. I gotta run.
I'll go get help.
Yeah. And so, but Alice is smart and she figures out there are actual literal dragonflies, much like there are literal butterflies in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. There's a literal dragonfly. And so she uses it to make a crust on the marshmallow like one would for a s'more. And they are able to climb out onto the crust and get out.
The knave is really hesitant to help her now that they don't exactly know if Cyrus is alive. And the only reason he went to go find her is that he thought it was a sure thing and he wanted to do her the solid. And obviously there's some history there of her helping him out. And right. So he feels obligated to.
Yeah.
But again, since it's uncertain now, he doesn't want to be dragged along for forever. And so, but she's just hey, but what if I gave you some kind of payment for it? And he's what? And she's I can give you something better than money. I can give you one of my wishes. And she takes out the three gems that are used as wishes. The wishes are very literally gems.
Yeah, and little rubies.
And she keeps them in her shoe, in the heel of her shoe. Which is very clever. Mm-hmm. And she shows them to him and to the knave. All three of them are still intact. So she never used them while her and Cyrus were together. And she's hey, I'll give you one of them if you help me find Cyrus.
Right. But she also explains that these wishes can do it's not a simple thing. She can't just wish Cyrus.
They come with strings attached because Cyrus has told her, since obviously he's been a genie, he knows that the wishes come with strings attached. And it she uses the example of, if I wished for Cyrus back, he could come back with a noose tied around his neck hanging from a tree.
Right.
All magic comes with a price.
Yes,
and that is
from Once Upon a Time.
And that is constantly mentioned in Once Upon a Time and is also mentioned in here.
Right.
And that's actually, I really like that they explain it like that. So it's not just then why don't you wish for this? Why don't you wish for that? It's there are reasons.
Right. So then we see that the rabbit in his flight from the Mallow Marsh is stopped by the Red Queen. And she takes him to her chess piece palace. She is behind the rabbit going into the Victorian England world to tell Alice and get Alice back. She wants the rabbit to report to her about everything Alice does in Wonderland.
And he doesn't even actually know if Cyrus is actually alive.
Yeah.
Because he was just told to get her back and get her back to Wonderland, and that's it.
Right. Alice and the knave get to the Tolgi Woods. And Alice is they head in that direction. And Alice is talking about how she wants to beat the Red Queen.
I don't blame her.
And then we see that the Red Queen is visited by Jafar. Do you mind talking about this?
Yeah, sure. But also, I would like to say she's more hardened by her experiences now. Alice is definitely more. And that's shown throughout because in the flashbacks, she was a little bit stubborn, hard-headed, but she also had this naivete in a way and this kindness and stuff like that. Right now, she's just gotten out of a fucking asylum after thinking her fiance was dead, and she's not happy and she wants revenge in a certain capacity. And we'll see her battle with her urges later.
Yes.
But yeah, the Red Queen is visited by Jafar.
The guy playing Jafar is in the English Patient and in Lost, and he is lovely, but he's very menacing.
He's so good in this.
He's really good.
It's just amazing. Wait, Mom. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. And he says he wants the genie's bottle and for Alice to make all of her wishes. We will find out why, like the real reasons why. And those are the reasons why he's working with the Red Queen, but there are more deep reasons why.
Yes.
And he starts threatening the Red Queen, but she has the rabbit's information and knowledge about Wonderland and about Alice's location, so he can't kill her yet. And so she's just kind of like, well, it is going to be a deal, darling. We're going to beat
this is my world.
A partnership. This is my fucking world, and you're going to have to help me. And he's just like, well, in return for the wishes, what do you even want? And she's like, all in good time. Which means I don't know. And so she keeps the deal in place. Jafar also has his own magic carpet and flies away.
Yeah, it's okay.
So Alice and the Knave see wanted posters up for him. And she's like, what did you do while I was gone? And he's just like, you don't want to know. She wants to get a better vantage point to see if they're close to the Hatter's house. And so she takes off her shoes and climbs a tree. And the Knave takes her shoes because that's where the wishes are. Alice runs away. Alice runs into a large version of the Cheshire Cat,
who is
in the tree.
Dark and scary.
Very scary.
Yeah, he's a big kitty.
Oh, he is a big kitty.
And so he wants to eat her. Mm-hmm. And he also says that the Red Queen had promised him that he could eat Alice. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, Will didn't go very far. The Knave. Alice at one point had used the name Will. When she calls out to him from the tree, she's like, Will. I'm not giving anything away. But she then goes back to the Knave, so whatever.
We'll find out. It's more his last name, though. We can give it away.
Right. So Will throws a bit of mushroom at the Cheshire Cat, which shrinks him, which I always thought you had to eat it, but apparently
No, into his mouth.
Oh, it's into his mouth. Okay, so the wish, so that shrinks the Cheshire Cat, and the Cheshire Cat runs off. He claims that, I wasn't stealing your wishes, and she's like, yeah, right.
You couldn't even if you wanted to, because they have to be granted.
Yes.
And so essentially what happens is that when you become the master of the genie, you have your three wishes. You cannot be, these three wishes cannot be stolen from you. You have to make three wishes. And then after you make the three wishes, the genie goes back into the bottle and can be taken by any other master. But yeah, you can't. And there are also other rules, but we'll learn them as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get to the Hatter's house, but Cyrus isn't there.
No.
The rabbit
house. Yeah. Hats. Nut. It's clearly abandoned.
Yeah. The rabbit finds them there. She goes outside to grieve and then finds Cyrus's necklace. Yeah. And since it survived the boiling sea, she thinks it means Cyrus is alive.
Right.
The Knave thinks
and it's glowing.
Yeah.
I mean, so that would be a suggestion too, that he is alive, because if he were gone, it shouldn't go.
The Knave thinks it's not enough proof, but she says if when you love someone, you don't need proof, you just feel it. Yeah. And she asks for his help, and he's like, damn it, I was really hoping you wouldn't say that. Fine. Right. Yes, I will.
We get a little bit of flashback, too. We get to see that Cyrus, that you see him flashing back because he's alive.
Yeah, he's alive. Yay! And in a cage.
In a cage.
Like dangling from the ceiling of some place.
Yeah.
He's alive, but stuck in a cage, and has a flashback to being thrown off the cliff and being caught by Jafar's magic carpet and being taken by Jafar. And Jafar wakes up and says Alice's name. So he probably knows that she's near. He probably feels it in his heart or something like that. Because that's this kind of show. And so
it's just so sweet.
And he wakes up saying Alice's name. He sees Jafar coming into the dungeon, and they just make really loaded eye contact at each other.
Right, and then it zooms out and zooms over to the worst green screen ever. And we basically see Alice and the Knave walking on green screen sort of yellow brick road, but not actually.
Oh,
and
so
it
bad.
Is such bad green screen. It's terrible.
So bad.
Embarrassingly bad.
It's so funny, though.
It is. But that's the end of the episode. So what were your best parts?
The action is actually fantastic. The fight choreography is really, really good, and that's consistent. The costumes, beautiful costumes. The banter. I really love Allison the Name's banter in particular. Like he comes in and she, after like she beats up all the orderlies, she's just like not much of a rescue mission. He's like, I was more of a message delivery service actually.
Yeah.
That's so funny. The world building is really cool. Like you get to a little bit of lore about the genies, you get some lore about Wonderland and all that stuff. And Alice and Cyrus are really cute. Like even like you haven't even seen that much of them. Like you see like two flashbacks of them, but it's enough. It's so
It's
fucking
plausible. It's
cute.
like a plausible
And they
romance.
also have
It's
like
so
such good
adorable.
chemistry. And so they're just so fucking cute. And like so literally what you see is just their meeting and their little flirting back and forth, like her telling him that she wanted proof, and he's just like, for like your husband, or and she's just like, no, and he's like, good, good. And she's just like, good. And he's just like, oh, well, that you're not separated from the one you love.
Well,
That's what I
that's
meant.
what I'm talking
That's
about.
what I meant. But
Yeah,
and
no,
then
they
you
look
see
really
that him
cute.
proposing and her immediately saying yes, and you're like, oh, I get it. I
Yeah.
get it. That makes a lot of sense for them.
Yeah.
Anyway, and the Knave. I find the Knave hilarious. I love the Knave.
I do love
He's
the name.
iconic. And so is the Red Queen, but she's not the best part because she threw Cyrus off a
Yeah,
cliff.
she's not a best part, although she looks
She looks
fucking amazing.
fantastic.
So yeah, my best parts, I love the love story.
Me
I really do.
too.
I think the acting is really compelling for this. I love the stage combat, obviously, and I love kind of the creativity. Like, oh, we're gonna make dragonflies. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, and that's how we're gonna get out of the Mallow
Yeah,
Marsh.
exactly. It's like there are creative elements in this that are super fun. That's part of the reason we loved Once Upon a Time itself. And I'm the clothes. Oh my God, they're so great.
So good.
What were your worst parts?
The doctors, my God.
Oh yeah, they're terrible. I didn't even write
Let's
that
do a
down.
lobotomy. That will save this
I mean,
depressed girl's
it is
life.
kind of like that whole
No.
Victorian mental
This
health
is why being stuck in the
thing.
Victorian England era is the worst.
Yeah.
The Red Queen for throwing Cyrus off of the cliff, but she's serving. She is serving.
Yes, she is a bit, she, yeah. Okay.
She ate it up. Anyway, Jafar, I mean, he's iconic, but my
Yeah.
God,
Yeah.
he has Cyrus, and so we don't like
Yeah.
that. And so much green screen. You
Yeah,
can't really control that.
the only thing I wrote was the green screen because honestly, I don't know that I feel like any other worst parts were that outstandingly awful to me.
It was more just like pointing out mean people, not things I hated, but mean people.
Yeah,
That was
yeah.
what my, except the green screen,
Yeah.
but that
What
was.
grade did you give this episode?
I'm debating on A and an A minus because I
I am
know
too.
I already know that there are better episodes
Oh,
to
then A
come,
minus.
so I'm going A
All
minus.
right, A minus. But that's a really good world building episode. This is something we have talked about in other series too. Like an A minus in a first episode is really pretty damn good.
Oh yeah.
And so we are really looking forward to sharing with you Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. We are going to be covering this hopefully in a number of quick episodes. We hope that you join us and
Cheers.
cheers.